it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the first half here to talk about that and look ahead to the Lions a little bit coming up next Monday night. National television from the Baltimore Banner. She's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Gianna Hahn. Gianna, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Feeling better that we get to cover a win instead of going 0-2.
Well, as you can imagine, our call volume's down today on the way, Gianna, because there's nothing to complain about. I guess there is if you wanted to. But we were talking earlier about the first half offense and maybe some frustration setting in. So why? I mean, we know Cleveland has a pretty acceptable defense, to say the least, but it looked like the Ravens could never really get any traction there in the first half. How much of that had to do with what Cleveland was doing and Jim Schwartz versus Todd Monken and what he wasn't doing here?
It's hard this early in the season to truly tell just how good that Browns defense is, but they did, you know, lock up Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati offense the week before. They held them just 141 yards for the whole game. So the Ravens certainly did a lot more than that, but I think the Ravens offense is really built off the ground, and, you know, Derrick Henry wasn't able to get going. They were definitely focusing on him, but also they just have such a good defensive front. And if he's not going and Lamar's not going on the ground, it makes it a little tougher for the rest of the offense because they can focus more on the passing game after they shut down the run game. So I think it kind of was just like dominoes falling. But I would like to think that this Browns defense truly is very, very good, and that's why. But again, such a small sample size, it's hard to know if it was that or if the offense just kind of had some hiccups and couldn't get things going.
Gianna, I thought Lamar looked frustrated in the first half. You know, he was 10 out of 17, 77 yards, and he had some bad throws, you know, yes, in that first half.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, he didn't look super sharp. People were contemplating whether he was sick because he had that IV. He said after the game that he always has an IV. But he just didn't look like Lamar expected to come out of the Bills' loss. Like, usually after Lamar wins or loses, as we've seen in the past, he comes out and he's sharp and he's ready to get back on the winning track. It's very rare that they lose two in a row. And so that's more what I expected. And then maybe Derek not getting going, Justice not really finding much kind of affected him. But he had a few passes that he saw a really good opening and he just didn't, it wasn't completely uncatchable, a few of them, but they weren't certainly catchable. I remember there was one that Rashad probably could have come down with, yeah, but the angle that he had with it, I truly think that the Browns cornerback would have, or defensive back would have knocked it out of his hands because it was just way too high and he would have had like such a bad grip on that ball. So just not putting it where his receivers can make the best play possible.
I was surprised Lamar didn't run it more in this game, yeah, especially in the first half.
I would definitely agree with that because, again, they need Derrick Henry going. And so one way to open that up is to have Lamar run. That's why I was also like, maybe is he sick? But I don't know. He goes with what he feels is best. And if he didn't see any lanes, then maybe that's why he didn't go. But certainly, I kept waiting for there to be that, like, magic Lamar moment. And we mostly saw it when he was scrambling and not, like, designed runs.
Now, is Tylan, at least in this game, I guess, Wallace was the third receiver and D-Hop was fourth?
I guess, I don't know officially. They did look to him first. It feels like, you know how they described Keith Mitchell as more of a designer running back. D-Hop feels a little bit more like that, where they're going to use him in very specific situations, and maybe Tylan is more of the workhorse, maybe more of the Rasheen Ali. He could do a few more things, but you know, this offense, everyone's always going to have their chance, and it looked like early on that it was going to be Tylan's chance, but it turned out to be all the receivers below Zay and Rashad's chance. But it was really good to see those guys step up, considering that you know, when your stars aren't going, the other guys can get it done.
What, Vannoy's a hammy, and what is Marlin, and how long do you think they'll be out?
Marlin's a groin, and Rasheen is a concussion. We will hear from Harbaugh around 2:30. I don't know if he'll actually give us an update, though. He did warn us that once we got in the season, he wasn't going to really give us super specific responses. But all of those injuries are, I mean, concussion is just going to be whenever he clears the concussion protocol. But the hamstring and the groin, both those are injuries that can really linger if you're not careful. I mean, we saw Adisa Isaac out for weeks and weeks and weeks with a hamstring, and then he went out again with a hamstring. So just something that it could mean a lot of things. It's such a general diagnosis. So hopefully it's just, you know, a like pull and not a tear and nothing major, and that these guys can get back. But they are, you know, getting up there in player age, and so they have to be very careful.
Gianna Hahn, Baltimore Banner, joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fan, Ravens 1-1. Now you get the Lions coming up Monday night. Gianna, national TV. Of course, Monday Night Football, all the fun stuff goes with that. 5.5-point favorites, too. But Lions just put 52 up on the Bears after getting totally stymied by the Pack the week before. 2 years ago, Detroit came to Baltimore, got blown off the field, won even a game. It was a mismatch, actually. But how do you see this matchup shaking up? They're shaping up as Detroit comes in here with many more, with all due respect to the Browns, many more weapons than Cleveland brings to the equation here offensively.
I mean, this is going to be the true test of if the defense took its steps forward, because it was good to see them not play down and to close out this game and force takeaways, but that's going to be different versus, as you said, the Lions versus the Browns. I mean, Joe Flacco is actually older than Jared Goff, but Jared Goff isn't one of your young running quarterbacks that you might see. But I do think that they, I just feel like it's going to be an offensive shootout. I would like to think the offense gets back on track and it is offensive shootout, but if the defense can keep it running, this will be a really good test to see if they truly made those adjustments that we think that they made.
Gianna Hahn, appreciate your time as always. Have fun with John Harbaugh today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Gianna.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
There's Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner. Ravens and the Lions coming up Monday. We have still got plenty of Ravens-Browns talk to get into. If you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Matter of fact, bottom of the hour. Got Vinny's keys. Look back at those. We got a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Talk to him a little bit about yesterday's win. But coming up next, it's the whip around. We'll talk some college football, the big fight that happened over the weekend. The Orioles get swept in Toronto, in Chicago tonight. Kyle Bradish looking for his first win. We'll get to the AL East standings and beyond. There's a new team in first in the AL West. Stick around, we'll tell you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
you know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport,
every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Top of the Whip Around here on this Victory Monday. Well, for the Terps and for the Ravens. Ravens win yesterday 41-17. Maryland on Saturday down at CQ Stadium, taking on the Tigers of Towson 44-17. Terps were up 41-zip. Where the Tigers got on the board, but Malik Washington, his fine freshman campaign continues on.
At the 2-yard line, Washington will keep it himself, runs to the right side in the end zone for the first touchdown for the freshman. He'll now throw for the 12th time, goes in the end zone to Knotts, he's got it, and it's a touchdown Maryland.
Ashley Knotts, touchdown a week. Wide receiver for the Terps, Johnny Holiday on the call, Maryland Radio Network. We are the flagship of the University of Maryland Terrapins. Malik Washington, 16-22, 261. Threw a pick, threw a touchdown, ran for a TD. Terps rushed for 152 yards, which they, quite frankly, haven't been doing a lot of this year. Now the task gets a little tougher. Coming up here against Wisconsin, 8.5-point dogs on Saturday. Now, in the Big Ten this weekend outside of Maryland, Indiana blows out Indiana State 73-zip on Friday night. Mendoza, 5 touchdown passes there. New Mexico gets blown out, or blows out, I should say, UCLA 35-10. Deshaun Foster out 3 games in.
Yeah, it's a, Bob, right now, it's a crap job. It's not a good job. They don't spend any money, and they got no players.
Yeah, Chip Kelly left to become an assistant coach.
Right.
He gave up the head coaching job to go where? Ohio State, right?
Yep.
Where he's calling plays there. Speaking of them, 37-9 over Ohio. Penn State, Puffy Pants, Villanova, 52-6. Same with Oregon against Northwestern, 34-14. Illinois, 38-0 over Western Michigan. Speaking of Wisconsin, they lose 38-14 to Alabama. Looks like Billy Edwards will play, however, against Maryland this Saturday, which we'll talk about over the course of the week. Blair Underwood rushed for 2, threw for 1. Michigan 63-3 over Central Michigan. Minnie Mahomes had a good day as Nebraska beats Houston Christian 59-7. Rutgers over Norfolk State 60-10. Michigan State 41-24 over Youngstown. USC beats Purdue 33-17. Trojans 3-0.
Yeah, what was that, a three-hour lightning delay, Bob? I mean, that one was like forever. But we got some really good Big Ten games this week.
Well, hold on, 47-7 Iowa over UMass, and it was Cal 27-14 over Minnesota. So rowing your boat, row your boat, maybe not so fast.
Yeah, their best player, the running back, didn't play in the game, and guessing that
well, nice win for Cal because they were kind of on the
3-0.
Yeah, the dormant steps there. But you mentioned some of the interesting games coming up this weekend. USC, Michigan State. You got, of course, Maryland, Wisconsin. Michigan's at Nebraska.
Yeah, with no Sherrod Moore, no head coach for Michigan.
Ben Pogge on the
1-0, Biff.
On the sidelines. Yeah. And then Illinois, Indiana is going to be an interesting game.
Yeah. Would you be shocked if Nebraska beat Michigan?
Not at all.
Me either.
Isn't it time for them to kind of level up year three?
That's usually when Matt Rhule does it.
Gets it going. So we'll get to the national college football fun because there were some great games over the weekend later in the program. It's the Whip Around video at Andy 105.7 The Fan. Boxing on Saturday night. Terrence Crawford, unanimous decision over Canelo Alvarez, wins the super middleweight championship, 116-112, twice 115-113. I didn't watch 1 second of the fight. Fell asleep.
It was on late?
It was in Vegas.
Yeah.
So I had a long night Friday. Me and the wife, we went out to dinner, and karaoke always ensues. A lot of booze, Metal Fest, and afterwards. Then we went to the Colts thing on Saturday, Craft Brews, not Bobster's friend.
Yeah.
Tend to catch up with you. So 10 o'clock, I was sawing logs. It had to be at the Horseshoe Casino yesterday. But based on what I've read, it was an appropriate decision. If anything, the score should have been wider in Terrence Crawford's favor. And I'll watch the replay because it's on Netflix. You got Netflix. You can watch it as many times as you want. But if you saw the fight, you thought there was something amiss, give us a call at 410-583-1057. Speaking of boxing, sad news. Ricky Hatton passed away over the weekend at the age of 46 unexpectedly, and he was one of the great entertaining fighters of the early 2000s into the 2010s. So thoughts and prayers to the Hatton family in that one. Let's see. Orioles history 2014. Orioles beat the Blue Jays 5-2, right about to clinch. American League East, Ryan Flaherty, 2-run homer. Jones, 3-for-4 with a ribby there as Wei-Yin Chen picked up his 16th win. Zach Britton, 35th save. And on this day, 6 years ago, M&T Bank Stadium, Lamar Jackson, game 2 of the season against the Cardinals. He was 24 of 37 for 272, threw 2 touchdowns, and also rushed for 120 yards. That was Lamar Jackson's first MVP season. So 6 years ago is kind of a head-scratching turn of event there. Ravens would lose their next 2 games at Kansas City, then at home to Cleveland, and then win 12 in a row before the playoffs. But we're not going to visit that one until the appropriate time. And if you're just tuning into the show or you're just waking up from whatever dimension you've been in, Joe Burrow, toe surgery. He's out for 3 months, expected for the Cincinnati Bengals, obviously changing the landscape of the AFC North. And with Cleveland struggling, and Pittsburgh, who knows what they're going to be when it's all said and done. Again, it's only 2 games in. And now Burrow, Lesser, the Bengals, Jake Browning's the dude. Yeah. The Ravens don't win this thing by three games, there's a problem, I would think.
And the Bengals are looking for another for a backup quarterback. You know, and that, Bob, there's like talk about Kirk Cousins possibly. You know, they trading for him, or Jameis Winston trading for him, kind of thing. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll get to Vinny's keys when we come back. You want to join us, you can at 407-583-1057. Usually when the Ravens win by a significant amount, which they did yesterday, there isn't really much to complain about. But if you want to praise, let's do it. Lamar's stats said he had a great game, but we watched it and, you know, struggling a little bit there in the first half. But the defense, did they do enough yesterday to give you confidence that they can rise to the occasion against the Lions? And that offense that just got totally medieval on the Chicago Bears. Can the Ravens do anything resembling what Green Bay did 2 weeks ago, where Detroit looked like a team that didn't even belong on the same field?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient. We're moving on, and we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
105.7 The Fan.
Ravens taking care of business against the Cleveland Browns yesterday, 41-17. Every Friday before the game, Vinny Serrato here on the program. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, does his keys to victory. And sometimes, like against Buffalo, maybe not as many keys were hit as need be, as they lost that one. But I'm assuming, Vinny, when you win 41-17, you're all over them keys.
Yep, number one was tackle well because the ball's going to come out quick. I thought they did a real nice job tackling. I thought Roquan was very physical. Thought Kyle Hamilton was physical. Wiggins had a couple nice ones. He missed one tackle. But otherwise, I thought they did a very nice job tackling. Number two, don't let Garrett disrupt. I mean, these last 2 weeks watching Garrett play, I mean, that's a defensive MVP of the league right now. I mean, that guy's spectacular.
Now, we had a caller, last hour, ask or say that he should try to get out of Cleveland, which he demanded a trade before they gave him a ton of dough. I mean, has that ship sailed? Because Cleveland doesn't look like they're anywhere near contention here in the AFC.
Defensively, they are. Offensively, they're not.
No, they're light years behind.
Yes, they're way behind offensively. They need quarterback. They need O-line. They need a legitimate receiver.
Apparently, Deshaun Watson was, Ken Wyman was telling me yesterday on video showing his workout. He's working out.
Oh, good. Good. Number three, take advantage of their aggressive defense. They definitely, I would say no on that. No one. I mean, that aggressive defense was kicking some ass early in that game. I mean, they were controlling the line of scrimmage for sure. Controlled the line of scrimmage. Number four, receivers win one-on-one battles. Yeah, they did. Zay probably created the most separation. Bateman had some decent separation. Tez did a nice job. D-Hop had no separation. He just catches the ball.
Yeah, he likes that. Seems like he's more comfortable with contested catches.
You know what's funny, Bob, is Hopkins had two touchdowns with 10 catches. Or 10 plays. 10 plays. He had one was down at the half-yard line, but otherwise two touchdowns. And Tez Walker, 13 plays, two touchdowns. So very effective for those two guys. All right, number five, create turnovers. They got two. And, block punt, that was a turnover too, right?
That's
so they got three.
Defensive turnover, right?
So they had three turnovers. So that was huge compared to the week before. So it was nice. They got a fumble. They got two fumble recovers and an interception. Should have had another interception, Marlon Humphrey.
Yeah.
Number six, make a play on teams. Made a couple. Thought they made a couple plays on teams. Wester, he was just so close to breaking it. And then the play that Hummel made. But Looper got to quit kicking it out of bounds. You know, in a critical, you know, put it on the, give it to him on the 40-yard line. Come on, Looper. You got to get better at that. Number seven, don't allow 50 yards rushing. They had 49 the week before. Yeah. Judkins helped. You know, he didn't play the week before, but he helped. Would they have 112 yards rushing?
115.
Yeah. And then last but not least, make Joe move out of the pocket and hit him. They did that. He was on the go. He was on the go from the beginning. I mean, they were coming after him. First snap, they were blitzing. And Roquan blitzed a lot. And I thought the defensive game plan was excellent. So those were, what did we get? One, two, three, four, five of the eight they got.
And you'll take it. And you'll certainly take the win, 41-17. For Cleveland, though, with Judkins and Dillon Gabriel maybe, isn't it time to move forward here? Because Cleveland has Green Bay coming up this weekend at home. That's a mismatch on paper, might be on the field as well, but they do play the games before we guarantee anything. But how many starts did Joe Flacco get before they just decide to move forward with the younger guys?
I think with Green Bay, they're going to need Flacco, Green Bay. Who do they got after Green Bay? You know, because if they're 0-3, Bob, I mean, they had a chance looking at their schedule, if I remember right.
At Detroit.
Yeah, they got a chance to be 0-6.
And then host Minnesota at Pittsburgh.
Okay, so maybe he starts Minnesota game. Gabriel, because they'd be, what, 0-5 at that time?
Well, 0-4.
0-4.
And it's at home.
Yeah, and the season's pretty much over by then. So I could see that, you know, and then Joe being the backup and then see how Gabriel, see what he is. Because they got to find out if they got a quarterback or not because they have two first-round picks.
Nolan, get in here for a sec before we get to the break and get to your fun house. You know, watching the game yesterday, I almost started feeling bad for Joe Flacco. Because he is in his 40s and he's playing players that are 10, 15 years, in some cases 20, younger than him, and it just, he was never the most mobile guy to begin with, but he could extend plays. It was just like, come on, man, I don't want him to go out like this. And even Ross Tucker at the end of the game was like, it's not exact. Even Ross Tucker felt bad for him when they brought Gabriel in, who threw the touchdown pass late. But any sympathy for Joe, or it's, this is your chosen profession and you play for the opposing team, and this is what you signed up for, and this is some of the consequences that you get when you do this sort of thing.
Maybe a little bit, but yeah, I mean, what did he talk about all offseason and right when he was named the starter? You know, I still can do this. I had a lot of people that I wanted to prove. He wanted to prove his own family, his own kids, that he could still do it. So this was a mission for him. He knew what he was getting into.
But what does it say about Cleveland that Joe Flacco is their starting quarterback? However,
that says they're in trouble, Bob. I mean, because their offensive line is bad and they have no run game and you got a quarterback that can't move. So, I mean, if you had, you know, a run game, that Joe needs a run game. If he doesn't have a run game and he, Bob, the last two games he's thrown it 45 times. I mean, can't do that.
And by the way, Judkins had 61, and yeah, he didn't really get,
well, he got a 31-yarder late. Right.
But outside of that, they weren't running the ball.
No.
At all. Joe was 25 of 45 for a $1.99, a touchdown and a pick. He was sacked two times. Fumble that Roquan picked up, ran into the end zone. Lamar was 19 of 29, 225, four touchdowns. Quarterback rating 128.6. Through two games, Lamar Jackson has six touchdowns and no interceptions. Zay Flowers, 7 for 75, 11 targets. So his ascension in year three, he made the Pro Bowl last year. Let's not forget. His ascension in year three seems to be pretty significant. Question is, as the Ravens start to throw more given circumstances of a game, who's going to be the beneficiary of said tosses? Because you brought this up earlier, Vinny. Hopkins had two targets. They made them both count.
Right.
Bateman had four targets, and they were all, what, first half?
They were all in the first. Bob, if I'm not mistaken, they're all on the same drive.
Mark Andrews had 3 targets.
And he had 1 catch for 2 yards.
So likely when he comes back, you would assume he'll get in there. But are we seeing maybe a significant decline in what Mark Andrews brings to the table here? And second part, I mean, once you start to spread the wealth, who's going to start to eat a little bit more? Because right now, Zay Flowers getting fat, everyone else getting some crumbs.
Yeah, and Bob, the thing about it is they've only run 100 plays in the 2 games. They don't get enough plays. That's the problem. You know, in this past game, the reason they had 53 was short fields. You know, I mean, you get a pick six, you get a fumble return for a touchdown, you know, a block punt, you get on the 20-some yard line. So, you know, you had some short fields, which is great, but they need like 65 plays, and then, you know, we get some more. Because Lamar's thrown it, what, 19 and then 29 times?
48 times.
Yeah, so he has not thrown it a lot.
When we come back, we're going to go to the Funhouse. Nolan McGraw, talk more with him, see how his weekend was. And then coming up top of the hour, news from the Nest, to hear from all the participants, or most of them anyway, from yesterday's Ravens win, buy or sell, where's the Monday money? And then the AFC North report, look at the scores and highlights from yesterday's division games. And if you're just tuning in, Joe Burrow is going to be out for 3 months. That is bad news if you're a Bengals fan. Of the season, as he's coming back and doing well so far, from Tommy John surgery, Matt Wieters' Freudian slip. Adley Rutschman could be starting his rehab assignment. Might see him at the end of the year for whatever reason, other than he's a competitor. I don't know, because there's only a couple of weeks left. We'll get into the AL East report and more later in the show. There's a new team in first place in the AL West, a red hot team at that. So stick around. But let's bring Nolan McGraw in. Quick draw, how are you feeling today? How was your weekend?
It was good. Feeling good today. Ravens handled their business. I think that's the best way to put that game yesterday. And while the final score looks very lopsided in favor of the Ravens, and you look at some of those stats for Lamar Jackson in particular, you said it earlier, how could you feel any sort of angst coming out of this game? But for those of us that watched every single snap, well, the score doesn't tell the full story. The stats didn't even tell the full story. And I can't rag too hard on this offense, but situationally, I was very concerned. And the biggest moment of concern for me was after that, what we thought was a deep bomb touchdown to
Hopkins.
Thank you very much. Gets called back or stopped just short of the goal line. All right, no big deal. It's the Ravens offense. They'll just punch it in, probably just one more play. Well, one play. No. 2 plays. All right, what are we doing here? 3 plays? No. Are you kidding me? We're settling for a field goal inside the 5 and to not even run it. No run attempt with Derrick Henry. Not having the best game, but still to get completely ignored in that situation, it's really unheard of after everything he's done in the past year plus.
Yeah. How does he not touch the ball at least once? He would have been the first guy.
He's the first, first down play.
Who cares what I think, but first play, Derek, let's see what we can do here. Then we'll get creative if they stone you.
Isn't that where they had the 2 drops in the end zone? Was that the one where Payton
there's a penalty
and Andrews? Was that the same? Was that
passing
that series?
Complete to Payton, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
that's when he dropped it out of his right arm.
Yeah.
And then Andrews had the touchdown and then dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, that's a good point with Andrews. It should have been. They were in there. It's a half second away from that.
Well, Delpit made a play.
Sure.
Because they tried. But to the point, why isn't 22 at least getting an opportunity to crack the goal line here?
I'm guessing that probably because they hadn't pissed a drop running yet. You know.
And then Payton, he had to pass first. Then he had the false start.
Yeah.
And that kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sack, wasn't it?
Haywire from
there.
Well,
I think that would be what's concerning to me. The fact that you were, because he wasn't running well so early in the game, you weren't getting anything going with Derrick Henry or the run game in general, that this is another sign of them just saying, all right, well, we're going to abandon it. Now, when you pass the ball that well yesterday, it's hard to argue against it. And I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. But this has been a thing for them in the playoffs in the past and a source of fan angst, if you will, that if things aren't going well early in terms of the run game, or you find yourselves behind, well, all of a sudden it's goodbye run game, and now it's just pass, pass, pass. So very briefly there, I saw a bit of a warning sign, I guess, if you will, that the Ravens were willing to just abandon the run game.
To your point about the game and not sitting there watching it with great confidence, and I was doing a lot of cussing at the television.
No.
There was a lot of yelling. It was like, what are we doing? That particular drive comes to mind. And the Ravens were 3-for-12 with in third down efficiency. I'm guessing that had a lot to do with a lot of end longs.
Yeah. Well, no doubt, Bob. The totally third and long. Yeah, because they were first half, Bob, they were 2-for-8. 2-for-8 in the first half. So what were they?
1-for-4.
1-for-4. Yeah, they were not good on third down. And like you said, they were having a hard time making plays on first down. That was the biggest issue, was first down.
And I know the TV broadcast had a little fun with it. You know, the Ravens find themselves up there, 17 to start the fourth quarter after they got that touchdown. And it's natural. The talking points come in. Well, here we go. Double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. Can they hold on? You know, saying it almost tongue-in-cheek at that point, but not for 1 second watching that game did I have any concerns of a blown lead. Because
how about when Humphrey missed it and then they get the touchdown? But
even then,
was 20-10, and it's like, yeah. I'll give you the exact quote, because I looked at my cousin Al, who was to my right. Keep letting these scrub teams hang around, and all of a sudden, but.
I wasn't really
angst-ridden, but agitated for sure.
Because the touchdown came in that fashion, where it's off the tip, you know, Vinny's right. You're sitting there saying, oh, here we go again. This is the typical Ravens giving up a touchdown in that fashion. But I still didn't think that they were in danger of losing the game. The entire game to that point, the Ravens defense had had their way with the Browns O-line chasing Joe Flacco around. By that point, they had already generated one turnover with the interception. So I had no doubts there that, all right, they got their one touchdown, lock in from here.
Hey, did you see that one stat, which was pretty interesting on the TV, about the double-digit leads lost in the fourth quarter? All the names of the coaches that were on there? It was Andy Reid, Harbs, Schottenheimer, Belichick, and some other big-time coach.
Well, you can look at it a couple of different ways. One, you've blown a lot of fourth quarter leads because you're leading a lot.
Exactly.
In the fourth quarter, and you've coached for a long, long time.
Right. And all those guys met that.
They've been around for a long time, but when they did patch that up there, to Nolan's point too, like, where were we going with this? Are we trying to paint a narrative of, like, watch the choke job come up? Because we did see a lot of, like, TJ Tampa had a big role in the second half of the game. So we saw some names that maybe you're not going to see in the first quarter against Detroit coming up here Sunday, well, or Monday rather, at M&T.
What was interesting to me was, all right, what was different from week one to week two? Because, you know, we heard, you know, coaches talk that, hey, if guys aren't productive, they're not playing. Jaire Alexander wasn't even active. Simpson didn't play hardly at all on defense. So those were the two main changes on defense. Offensively, you're not changing anything there. It was the same. But those were the two main changes on the defensive side.
And no David Ajabo either.
Well, he was inactive again.
Right.
Yeah.
And unfortunate for him, obviously.
Yeah. And Bob, I mean, I was disappointed in all the, you know, I mean, Tavius Robinson had that sack fumble. Fine. Mike Green had the one where he was around the ankle.
Yeah, he got a QB hit in there.
Yeah, but I still was a little disappointed. I thought Van Noy was awesome. You know, because he was playing until he got the hit. But he was beating that right tackle for the Browns. He was wearing him out. He was going around him, through him. He was in the backfield all day.
Any concerns with the pass rush moving forward just because of the nature of that injury?
Yeah,
again,
I'm totally
concerned. 3 sacks through 2 games. You're not going to have Van Noy. Clowney's not available anymore. So it's, you know, this is your group. Nobody's really coming to save you.
No, Ajabo's got to play. The guy who's got to get better is Mike Green. Mike Green's got to play faster is what he's got to do. He looks like he's still thinking a lot. He just doesn't turn it loose. And he's got the ability. And same with Oway. Oway's got to show up, too. You know, I mean,
at one tackle, one quarterback hits that line. Come on now.
Right. And his when he makes a play, he's unblocked. That's when he's making his plays.
Where's Travis Jones' bust-out season?
Matabike's been good.
Yeah, two games in, so we're not going to push panic buttons at least. Yeah, I'm worried about the pass rush. I think it's a genuine concern. As Nolan pointed out, if you missed it, Jadeveon Clowney, according to Jerry Jones, going to sign with the Dallas Cowboys to add a little oomph to their defense. We'll come back here from Harbs and Lamar and the rest. Talk about the Ravens win news from the Nest. You want to get in? You can at 410-583-1057. Ravens 1-1. Detroit looming coming up on Monday night. Ravens 5.5-point favorites there. We'll count some early week money, hopefully, with buy or sell. And then we'll go around the AFC North. A couple of games in the division. Cincinnati won the game, but they might have lost the war.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.